All right. Love that name. That name means more to us than we know. So much power in that name. The name's such a blessing. I hope everybody had a blessed week. The weather was pretty decent this week. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was raining. Never mind. But it was nice yesterday. Praise God. We still give God the glory for the rain. Amen. And thank God for that as well. So praise God. Now, for the order of my steps, have you ever had a gadget or something that you found and you had no idea what the use was for? There was something I had, and not to get, because it was a technical thing, but I remember when we got this gadget, we were using it to like lift or open something, I remember. And we're using it that way for the longest until somebody came across it. So where is the name, gave the name of it. And when we saw what we were using it for, it was totally wrong. And we were damaging it, using it the way we were using it. We were able to laugh at it and move on. But the more I think about that, that fits us. We are that gadget that 100% doesn't know what we're used for all the time. And main reason that other person knew is because somehow he read the instructions at one point. Now, I know a lot of men in here, we think our man card gets taken away if we read the instructions. That's not the case. We need to read instructions. But the most important instruction in our life is God's word. And his word gives us the instruction on how we are to be used. The order of my steps kind of helps us to understand that you were made with a purpose. And if you don't get that understanding, you'll try to be or live for another purpose. In fact, majority today are doing that. We're kind of finding our own purpose and we're living it. And at times it seems, everybody say seems, like it works. Doesn't mean it's working. It just seems like it works. We're doing what feels right. We're going with the flow. The name of this order of my steps, if you turn your bulletins over, is Be Yourself in the Lord. Now, the reason why I put the et cetera or the dots after and saying in the Lord is to show you we have to be ourselves. But why I say in the Lord is because only he can tell us what we're here for. I mean, as individuals and for his purpose. If not, I'll be myself based on what the world tells me, what my family tells me, even worse, what I tell me. And it doesn't work that way. If you look, it says, we must first realize what it says in Romans 9:16. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Y'all get that? He says, it does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort. Now, catch what it's saying there. So, in other words, what I want or what I do doesn't play a part in anything. Okay? And I'm talking about as the purpose. What I want and what I do doesn't play a part in that. But it's based on something that is for me. What is that? His mercy. So how he made everybody from this point forward and everything from on is based on his mercy, which is to our benefit. Okay? Hopefully, as we're going through grace and everything, you guys are understanding that mercy was giving us an opportunity that we could not get in any other way. Okay, so everything's based on his mercy. So we may see things and it may not seem right, but it's for a good purpose. All right, I'm going somewhere. First of all, we are God's creation and he knows what he's doing. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made. In the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's powerful. He's saying before you were even created, he knew what he was going to make you into and what you were going to be for. Amen? Now, we're born, we don't know that. So we, once again, either try to find out ourselves or we try to make up something ourselves. And that's a dangerous place to be. Now, please understand, when we read this, it's usually for those who have good qualities or what the world calls good qualities or what the world calls desirable qualities. But we ignore those who may have undesirable qualities or qualities that they struggle with. Or I think we all have things in our lives that we want to change or get rid of or whatever, right? Not realizing God saying, no, I made that too. believe it or not. He's saying, no, I added that. Watch what he says here. It's hard to grasp, but God also made the handicap people have. It says in Exodus 4:11, the Lord said to him, he's talking to Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, we want to blame it on something else. The product of it is sin, but God is saying, no, I'm the one who did that. Okay? Now, I know we want an answer. We want to, why would God, and this is where we have to trust in him and understand he knows what he's doing. But he's saying, no, I'm the one who did that. And he's owning up to it, making it very clear so Moses gets this. Okay? He made sure that he's making very clear that it's him that did it and that there's no other place. And I skipped a place. I'll come back to it. We'll go back to that. But I want to make sure we understood this. He said, is it not I the Lord? Verse 12 says, now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So now the emphasis put on that is him showing that it's based on him. Even though the thing that happened was very uncomfortable, it's not desirable, it may even be frustrating. When he created us, he knew exactly where we're going to be born, what time we're going to be born, what age. When I say age, I'm talking about time period we're going to be born. Look what it says in what I skipped. God planned exactly when and where you were born. Acts 17:26 to 27, it says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them, the exact places where they should live. God did this so men would, watch this, seek him and perhaps reach out for him, okay, and find him. Do y'all see the sole purpose he created us? Seek, look for him, to find him, the purpose of him. Everybody with me? Okay? So he did it for us to have a relationship with him. Now, reason why I'm putting all this out there so far before we go deeper into this is to get an understanding as I think we have our life purpose. And our life purpose usually belongs to what we want. And that's what's distorting us. And this is why people are struggling. And this is why people are moving away from Christianity, or Christianity's changing, because we've turned Christianity into a thing that make me feel better about me, to give me a motivational force based on me, so I can do things the way I want to, so I can grow the way I want to grow. And he's saying, no. I made you for a specific purpose, to have a relationship with me, even with the good and bad parts. Everybody got that? Okay, so all of these things are added in there, why God did this. And it's not always for us to understand, but for us to live for him. We see this in Matthew 19:11-12. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. To set this up a little bit, he's talking about marriage. And he's saying, marriage, we've turned marriage into a right. That's why people are saying, if I want to marry, I should be able to marry whom I want to marry. We've turned it into a right. God's saying, no, marriage is sacred. Okay, I created marriage and it comes with a set of rules. And if you can't follow those rules, you can't do it. It's what God is saying. He's saying, period. It was never meant for man to go, well, if two people love each other, they should be able to. We were never meant to get involved in that. That was always meant for God. Okay, so with that understanding, he's showing us that he was explaining to them, about marriage, and he gave them the rules of marriage. And then when he got there, he ended it with, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it's been given. It says, for some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Did y'all catch that? It's saying sometimes they're going to have a deformity. There's going to be something that's going to stop them from being able to accept this. And he's saying others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept this. What God is saying is, no, it's not a right. I put it in place with a set of rules, and it's not for everybody to have. Some may go, but isn't that unfair? Remember, it's not about fairness. It's about mercy. There is a plan that God's doing down here, and this is why it's so important for us to walk by faith. If I walk by sight, I look at it and go, I don't get it. How come this person can do all this, but I can only do this? And why is this person going through all this, and I'm not going through this? And why did this person get this talent? Or how come I have this deformity? Or how come this? And we ask these questions based on us for him to make it right with us. Instead of us just going, all right, God, here's what I have. Guide me through what you want me to do with it. Do y'all get this? God, how do you want me to deal with what you gave me? Where do you want me to go? Our sole purpose was to look to him so we can depend on him, so we can trust in him. It was never meant for me to mold and build me based on me. Now understand, we must understand the body is dead because of sin. Romans 8:10 shows us that. It says, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Okay? So it's not about the body. He didn't come here to inform and make our bodies strong and make us these great people. If you notice, at the minute you're born, you start in a dying process. Okay? Body's dead. We're supposed to build in our spirit. One reason why we do fruit every year is to make sure we're growing and living in the spirit. There are two forces within us that we deal with, and we must choose one. Romans 7:23-25. He says, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work with my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in a sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. What he wants us to get to the point is which we realize I need him. And in fact, I'm even dangerous to me without him. I'm the most dangerous to me without him. There's a battle going on in these bodies, which we allow to be bought or sold because of sin. If you get a chance, read the beginning of Romans 7, and it shows that. And it's showing that we allowed ourselves to be given into sin, that now we've got a battle to be spiritual to live for him. Amen? Now, seems a little complex, but what this whole thing is showing us is we got to try to get away with how we see it and go with how he says. Not how I feel, not what I want to be. What would you have me to be, dear God? How do you want me to deal with what's going on with me? How do you want me to deal with what you gave me, with my situation? Amen? It's our choice what we use our bodies for, but there's only one right answer. Did y'all get that? Now, once again, using all this, because we're born a certain way and we have all these excuses, my answer still has to be because God said. It can't be, well, he only gave me this. Well, I didn't have what they had. I couldn't go what they did. How come I can't do? It's only this is what God said. It has to come down to what God said. It says in Romans 6:11-13, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Key word, count. Count. In other words, I have to say I'm dead. If you don't and you give your body a say, it will always fight. And this is what a lot of us go through. And unfortunately, we allow our flesh to win. We go with how we feel, not what he says. We go with what we see, not what he says. We go with what we think we are, not what he says. Y'all see where I'm going with all this? In other words, we keep living for self. And we're in a dangerous mode because we're actually born thinking, God made me to discover who I am in me and be the best I can be. And that's not the case. God made me to come closer to him. That was the main thing. Even though the me wants to puff up me, I'm supposed to live to do what he wants me to be and to live the way he wants me to live. It goes on to say, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as an instrument of righteousness. Now, do y'all notice this whole process is choice? He's saying, so when you live your life, offer. Do y'all get this? Now, if I'm distracted with me trying to build up me, I've missed all this. Instead of realizing I'm supposed to live my life for him. You would grow, raise your children and everything to get to know God so I know what I'm used for. Do y'all understand that? If not, I'm going to be frustrated with what I don't have. I'm going to be puffed up in what I do have. And we're going in the wrong way because we keep living based on how we see ourselves instead of searching him to find out what we're supposed to be. And if you notice in these choices, when he says do not let and do not offer. So when you see somebody get caught up in sin or get caught up in things and they say, I couldn't help it. Once again, the Bible's letting us know, no, the term is they didn't help it. Does that make sense? When I allow, because I allowed, he showed me I now have the power not to let and not to offer and to offer myself to God. That's why in Romans 12:1, it tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. He's now giving us instruction on something we have the power to do, but we have to do it. So we have to make sure that we are living and being ourselves in him. God reveals the outcome. I want to make sure I finish this, but rather off. Yeah, I did. Okay. God reveals the outcome to our choice decisions in Romans 8. Romans 8:13 says, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Nobody can say they were not warned. So if I live based on my body, if I live based on me, on how I am, I'm doomed. That you will die doesn't mean the death we're all going to go through. This is talking about hell. Okay, to make it very clear. So if I live based on me, even if I call it, I'm living based on me in the Lord. If it's not in the Lord, I'm doomed. But the alternative is, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You see how the choice works? Okay, I have to make the decision to do it or it won't work. So how can I do this? How can I live and be me based on God, not on me? It says, first of all, now we find ourselves in him. Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. Have our being comes from the Greek word esmen, which means we are. In other words, what makes me me. Okay? What makes me is in him, is what it's saying. If you really want to know who you are, you ever heard people say, I got to find myself? You will never find you because you are in him. Even those who are not saved, the reason why they're so lost is because they need to get saved to realize I'm supposed to be in him. Does that make sense? It's not me to puff up me to see what I can do to get my name put out there. It's for me to find who he made me in him. Amen? So I grow to know him, and as I know him, I get to know me. Everything is in him. So that's why I'm spending the time focusing on how can I get closer to him. Next, you have to understand you do not belong to you. You do not belong to you. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. He made that very clear. Once again, didn't come from Pastor Keith. So what that means is I can't go, it's my body. I can do what I want with it. No, it is not mine. Do y'all get this? Here's the problem. Before Christ, your body belonged to death. You were dying anyway. So you can say you couldn't live forever no matter what you wanted to do. If you belong to Christ, it was because Christ bought you. You understand it? With his blood, he paid to buy you back. So then your body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him. In both cases, you never own your body. You can say the speech, no, it's mine. I can do what I want with it. Go ahead. It'll deteriorate, it'll do whatever, unless we realize the only one who has real control of us is God. Does that make sense? The only one that can really make us function is God. That's why you'll see some people who have these great talents and they can do things that you're like, how can somebody do that? And you'll see other people who are going through emotional and physical struggles, maybe illnesses. And you're like, well, why are they going through that? If I struggle based on me, I'm just going to have a hard time trying to understand that. When I go through God, I go, there is a purpose. I may not get it, but there is a purpose. And understand, it doesn't make the one who's struggling less than the one who has the talents. Do y'all get that? Keep that in mind. We'll talk about that. Okay? And also it shows that we need to offer ourselves to God let me finish that one. It says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So you were bought at a price. Let's talk about his blood, like I said. Now, we need to offer ourselves to God for his purpose. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy. And that's what I was talking about earlier. And probably should have even highlighted, I encourage you to circle the I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy. Now, why am I saying to do that? Because he's saying the reason why I'm asking you to do this is because of his mercy. Does anybody in here, and you don't have to raise your hand because it may be a question I need to go over, not understand what God's mercy means? And to put it in a nutshell, I did something that there's no way I can pay for it. I'm doomed. But somehow he got me out of it. Even though I fully deserve the punishment I'm supposed to get, he got me out of it. That's mercy. But his mercy isn't just he got me out of it. Part of his mercy plays into a plan. Plays into a lifestyle. So his mercy is not just, I forgive your sins, period. Part of his mercy is to mold me into what I'm supposed to be. That's part of his mercy. And if I accept his mercy, I have to accept the entire package. That's why he says, in the view of this mercy that saved you from eternal doom, do this. If you truly accept this mercy, do this. Do y'all get this? What is he telling me to do? He's saying, in the view of God's mercy, to offer, everybody say offer, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. There's two things going on there. First of all, offer means when I become a Christian, I don't automatically do Christian things. I don't automatically become a good, godly person. I don't automatically fall in place and follow what I'm supposed to. My thoughts don't all of a sudden change to these wholesome, godly thoughts. Anybody who says that, they're fooling themselves and they're probably fooling you too. It's not what happens, okay? What we're supposed to do is now we recognize, so we take it and place it where it's supposed to be. That's what he means when he says offer. I no longer then live for what I want. I live for what he says. Y'all see the difference here? Even though I'm still going to have want, I still live for what he says. Make sense? And how do I do it? That's why it says holy and pleasing to God. I don't make up some way of doing it. I do it the way he tells me to do it. That's what that means. Okay? Holy and pleasing means I don't just go out there and say, so how I'm going to offer my body to God is I'm going to take a cross-country trip and not work in anything, and I'm going to do it in the name of God. Sounds great. I think a lot of us would love to do that until you run out of money. Amen. Me be next week. But you understand, you go halfway there because it's not that God told you. That's something you made up. And a lot of us do that. We make up these things, these little rituals that we do for God. I'm being very clear. They're meaningless and they're a waste of time. Right? God's not caught up in your emotional little rituals that you do. Please don't get caught up in those. Just do what he tells you. He already gave you what you need to do. That's why it says holy and pleasing to God. Our example is the Old Testament. The Old Testament, he told them how to do every sacrifice, how to do every washing, how to worship. When we did the law, the ceremonial law was how they were to worship. So when we start adding stuff to that, that's all nice and it may make you feel good, but it's meaningless. If they were to add anything to those sacrifices, their sacrifices would not be accepted. And that would be demise to them and their family. So how do I offer my body? The way the Bible tells me. Do y'all get it? I do it the way the Bible, not my own way, but the way the Bible tells me. Because I'm following, holy and pleasing. He said, this is your spiritual act of worship. This is our ceremonial thing that we're supposed to do. It's a spiritual thing now. And we are made for God's purpose, not ours. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, sanctified is I am you specifically for God's purpose. Do y'all get that? Specifically for. I give y'all a story of my grandmother, and I don't think they have those cabinets that held the special dishes. You know, what were they called? Y'all remember the name of those? Huh? China cabinet. They have another name, too, I remember. Hutch, maybe. Okay, well, that's not part of it. But I'm sorry, I'll spend all day trying to figure it out. But it had these special plates, and my grandmother only bring them out when special people. I thought we were special too, but our plates were all mismatched and all this other stuff. But it was only when we went into that cabinet we knew somebody was coming over. Okay, in the same way, we're in that cabinet. You understand? We're used for God specifically, and this is why he says it is God's will that you should be sanctified. We are not one of those that are living the same way the world is. However the world wants to use me, I'm going to be used that way. No, I can't. I'm used somewhere else. Does that make sense? And we have to always have that in mind. It says that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. Now, in sexual ways he's talking about here is because we have destroyed that. Even in the church, it's something that's going on and we just don't take that serious. And I think because we do it, nothing happens. Oh, but there's danger. Take my word for it. Okay? Don't take my word for it. Take the word for it. Amen? Don't play with that. Okay? It's very dangerous. He brings it up very many times in which he's saying there is a specific way that's supposed to be done. Use it any other way, you're destroying things. You're causing a lot of problems. He says, teach your body, because your body's going to want to do what it wants. Your body's going to desire what it wants. And I'm saying, I know some of us will go, well, if I don't get pregnant or if I don't get a disease, then I passed it. No, the most dangerous thing happened. There's a spiritual aspect that sticks with you forever. There's a part in there that causes a lot of problems that can't be explained, but you have no business dabbling in it. Does that make sense? All right. Do not play with that. It's by far one of the most dangerous things. The Bible speaks of it. And that's why he says not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, who just go after what they desire. He says, and that is a matter. No one should wrong his brother and take advantage of him. In other words, for your desires, you don't go after somebody for your desires. By far, one of the most dangerous. We try to seduce today. We try to lure people. We try to whatever we can to get them to fulfill our desires. He was like, God's going to hold you accountable for that. Do y'all get this? All right. It goes on to say, the Lord will punish for men for all such sins. Did y'all catch that? Okay. Will be punished for it. As we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. So remember, your body is going to go through stages. It's going to go through desires. And he was like, you better not live in those stages and desires. You live in me. Right? Some may be stronger than others. Still, no excuse. We all have the power to say no and reject it. Because we're living for him. It was never meant for those desires to be the things to rule us. Measure who and what you are by what God says. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say that to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Well, what's highly than you ought? It says, rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, let me show you here something here. When it says sober judgment, and if it would have stopped there, then I would have thought, well, how I see it, right? So in other words, I'm going to call it how I see it. He's letting you know that's still not sober. He was saying, no, by faith, I got to put on the right lens to see myself. See, when I see myself based on me, I'm either going to be, I'm a horrible person, I can't do anything, or I'm going to be, give me anything, I can do it all. In both cases, dead wrong. Do y'all get it? By faith, I put on the glasses and I see what Paul says. What a wretched man I am. I can do nothing without Christ. Do you understand that? His grace is sufficient. His faith will show me that. So when I look through his faith, in accordance with the measure, I'm only looking for what God said I am, period. Did y'all catch that? Not what I think I should be, not what others tell me I am, what God says I am, period. That's why he says, with the measure of faith God has given you. God's given each and every one of us, here's what your position is. Here's what your position is. Now, a big part of that is working with others. Be yourself, realizing you're part of many valued by God. Now, watch what he says in here. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 25. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Okay, so whatever he tells you and you figure out what you are in the body, you can't go, okay, I'm going to do this on my own. Bye, y'all. Nope, you already missed it. You can't function without other parts of the body. He shows it again. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. He made me a part. Everybody say part. Okay, he made me a part. So he says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The things that we think we can get rid of are actually very dangerous if we got rid of them. I remember a doctor a long time ago said, and I remember my grandmother said, that there was somebody who had to get their tonsils removed, and the doctor did everything he could not to remove them. And he kept slowing down not to remove them. And at the time, the minute they swallowed, people were just removing them, not thinking anything. Same thing with appendix. They're not used for anything, and they would just remove them. But this one doctor, even though he was a doctor, was also a godly man and said, God put them there for a reason. Now, people who don't know God say, well, we evolved and we don't use them anymore. And now they're starting to find out, no, there's reasons that we didn't realize. And we probably shouldn't remove them and be hasty. We probably should do what we can to keep them in there. And I'm not saying you're going to die if you don't have them. I'm saying before, they'd remove them without thinking about it. Now they're saying, we need to slow down on this. It shows you doctors don't know everything, but you get this. He's saying, no, there is a purpose for that. So some of us are looking to God for your purpose, and you're looking for this extravagant, great purpose. And what he shows you sometimes, you're like, that's it. Not realizing it's huge. Do y'all get this? You're so busy looking at what the world says is great. God's saying, no, I need you to do this here. And to God, that's you. That's what he's saying. The The weaker things are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, it says, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it. The ones that don't get the praise and everything that the world may give to those that are seeing, God's saying, I got that. I'll take care of that. And they're going to get the biggest honor. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? There are some ministries and things that you do that everybody gets to see, and you're going to get a lot of praise. And a lot of that praise is it. That's what you're going to get. A lot of your ministries are hidden. A lot of things you're doing. And if you're doing it, when your reward from God is going to be huge, is what he's saying. Do y'all get this? Okay? Understanding in all of this, it's all working together. All right? It's an all working together. Don't just be one to go to church and sit there and say, well, they got this. You play a part, and not just in church service, in life. Now, if I'm caught up with my job, I'm caught up with my family, I'm caught up with life, you may have to answer to God, and he'll go, okay, in me, show me what you did. Could you answer that question today? In me, show me what you did. Think about it. Be careful in that, because I know some of us are out there doing, we'll go out there and we'll help the poor, and we're doing a lot of stuff like that. Be careful, because that might not be the thing he's looking for. Remember, he made you specifically for a purpose, right? So in whatever I have or whatever I lack, I look to him and say, okay, so how am I supposed to be used? God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be, watch this, no division in the body. Amen. No division. And I was never meant to be a part by myself. I was always meant. Why do we go to church? In order to communicate and get together with other parts of the body. Technology has been great, but it's been very dangerous. A lot of people will go, I really don't have to go in. I can just listen. Sounds great. I know it's tempting, especially when the days are cold or when it's rainy or when I'm far. All this sounds good. But once again, if I had reverence and saw how this worked, I'd go, no, no, I have to be there. You know what I mean? He said, I must be there. So just hearing is just a part of it. He's the one who said, oh, no, no, this works within the body. There is to be no division, absolutely no division in the body, but that its parts should have, watch this, equal concern for each other. Right? If I only brushed my teeth but I didn't take a bath, I'm still going to be in a bad shape. Amen? It's still going to affect the body. Do y'all get this? It's still going to affect all of me if I neglect one part. I have to look over each part and be as focused on each part as I am with the other. Finally, we must have the same attitude as Christ. In order for all of this to work, in order for me to know that I'm born and my purpose is to be God's purpose, my attitude has to be of Christ. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 2 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Now, what does that mean, suffered in the body? Now, some people mix this up. It was a question I was just asking this morning. It doesn't mean I go out and try to find suffering. That's not what this suffering is talking about. What this means is my body's going to want to do, and I'm saying no. That's what it's saying. Okay? It's saying there's going to be desires that I really want to do, and I'm saying no. This is like the verse that says, I beat my body to make it my slave, so that in the end I will not be disqualified for the prize. Why am I beating my body? Because my body's going to fight to do what it wants to do. It's saying, no, Keith, we got to go this way because you really want to do this. And I'm saying, no, we can't, because God says we can't. And it's going to be a constant battle. And he's saying Christ suffered in that body. That body still had desires. Desires in themselves, and we'll do it again in the sermon, dangers of desires in themselves are not dangerous. I mean, are not bad or not sin. But when I let desires be, rule over me, that's where it becomes bad. Like it says in James 1, verse 13, it lets us know that sin comes from when I allow my desires to guide me where I'm not supposed to go. Amen? Okay, so it shows us, since Christ suffered in the body, you arm yourselves also with that same attitude, because he who suffers in the body is done with sin. Now watch this. As a result, does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires. And this is another case where the word evil is really not there. Translators decide to add it. It should say, does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. Huge difference. Amen? Huge difference. In which I'm living for 100% what he says. Will I still have desires? Yes. But will they lead and guide me? No. So look around when you get a chance. And I mean, not just in the room, in the world, and even look at your life. Yes, there's stuff you're lacking. Yes, there are extra qualities you may have. Yeah, there's certain things that God allowed you to be in. Certain places he allowed some of you to be rich, some of you to be poor, some to have strength, some to have weak. There's a lot of stuff he did. And if you keep looking by your sight, you're going to be confused, frustrated, or even puffed up and conceited. But when you look through him, you're going to go, okay, this is what I am. How am I to be used? I want to live for him as he made me to be. Amen? All right. As the word